Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in ideas in art and culture. Today I have as my guest at this wonderful bookstore, the Gra Budai Bookstore in Petaling Jaya, Shahrudin Ma'ruf, the author of Malay Ideas and Development, has been reissued. And I'm very happy to have Professor Shahrudin to help me understand the contents of his book, written many years ago and now reissued. Shahrudin, why did you decide to reissue the book? And I think you kind of deal with that in the introduction about whether you should have updated it or not.
Yes. Well, this has a lot to do with the background of the book. It was written in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Now, the purpose then was, apart from being my studies, I thought I wanted very much to record the times, the discussion. You must remember, it was aftermath of 69, new economic policy. There's tremendous discussion on Malay development, Of course, it's all one-sided, it's all mainstream. There's a lot, and of course, you'll be familiar with the ideas of the ruling party then. It's always blaming the masses for their indifference, laziness, not taking advantage, and so on. Yeah? It's a very colonial idea. And that has sort of been utilized to justify the launch of the new economic policy. Because that was the rallying call of the new economic policy, we need a new Malay. We need a mental revolution, change of values, abandon old values, and so on, And this is it was a diagnosis of the developmental problems of the Malays then,
Right, and you mentioned enough terms there, alert us to all the books that were also circulating at that point in time.
Yes,
Syed Hussein Ali's. Syed Hussein Alatas, The Myth of the Lazy Native, Dr. Mahathir's The Malay Dilemma,
Revolting Mental by Sanu, and many more. It was a major mainstream idea then, justifying the new economic policy. It was a major policy shift.
Right.
And therefore, definition and diagnosis of the ills of Malay development. So as a young man, I thought, I want to understand it. And I thought the best way to understand it is to study and research and try to communicate what it is. Yeah? And one thing that I realized is, terribly ahistorical in the approach. It was so contemporary, it's all blaming the old colonial ideas then. Yeah? And as I say, one thing that was really missing, I felt, was the historical explanation of the status of Malay development, which of course, there's poverty, there's economic gap, it was agro-based, traditional, non-capitalistic, non-modern, if I can use even the term, non-urban, So how do you understand that? And I think that's what the book is all about.
To what extent would someone like yourself, researching this, have to place the development of these Malay texts, or texts that are circulating in Malay society, Malay political society, among its elite, related to what was happening beyond Malaysia?
Yeah.
What were the models for Dr. Mahathir? What was he looking to?
Oh, yes.
And so on and so forth.
Okay.
What was feeding into the discourse, local discourse?
Okay, the point is this. First place, I mentioned history. One of my discoveries, for instance, that poverty was not due. Hundreds of years, people like Abdullah Munshi had been discussing it and diagnosing it. He says, couldn't be attitude, couldn't be the infertile soil. It's the ruling class. It's the elite. Abusive, oppressive. No economic individualism. So it was clear there. Now, your question on the bigger context, feudalism then. To this day, it is being denied. Feudalism is as explanation of Malay development. Seeing the roots of Malay poverty, or economic lack, or even the economic ethos, To this day, we deny it. Yeah? Now, feudalism is all over South Asia. You have books like Multatuli writing in Sumatra, Indonesia. That has always been there, but we ignore it. Yeah? You take the example, the explanation of Jose Riza on Filipino underdevelopment. Same explanation. The elite oppression, injustice, inequality, you know, is there, you know? So there's a bigger context, and if you want to take it wider context, then of course it goes back to capitalism, colonial capitalism, you know. Booker explained in Indonesia in terms of dualistic economy, you know, capitalism versus traditional economy. And of course, there's great personalities like Fanon, you know, classics of anti-colonialism in Africa. So it's a bigger context. But somehow, this is what the book is about. I connect local condition to wider explanation. Yeah, yeah, it links all the way. And we choose to ignore that. And to this day, my regret, I would say that we have not really bridged this gap in theoretical understanding.
What was your own training? If you could help us understand what alerted you to these dynamics in Malaysian society, and also what were you looking at in terms of reading text? Because I'm thinking of the Myth of the Lazy Native and Syed Hussein Al-Attaz's own training in the sociology of knowledge, I believe.
Yes.
That's really shaped the way he sought to understand the way texts operate.
Yes.
What was your own training?
Now, first, I think there was the time. I was very much a child of the time. New economic policy, I was an undergraduate just joining the job market. It's the 70s. It was in the heat of things. Every day you heard nothing about, you know, we need Malay millionaires. You know, we need Malay business, you know. There's always the threat of the non-Malays. There's always... So, child of the time. And of course, you know, from the cultural pride point of view, you know, the stereotyping. As a Malay, you're being told every day you're lazy, there's something wrong with your attitude, it's something with your mental set, you know. So I need to understand that. Then I was fortunate fortunate enough to have studied under Professor Syed Hussein Al-Attaz. Of course, yeah. Then I was exposed. I need to explain, and I was exposed to readings that explained, including his writings, of course. Yeah, yeah, but there were so many other readings. In sociology, the classics of sociology, you know, yeah? Of course, sociology of knowledge, and the classics of anthropology, of psychology, of Eric Fromm, it's the whole thing. This is a good question. I wouldn't be asked, you know. Oh, Sheldon is not a historian, he has no right to talk historian, he's a soldier, the other way says he's not a soldier. But my point is, I'm neither anywhere. I need to explain, and I will utilize anything that except to explain.
Right.
So anything. So history, I have, because I'm dealing with the past, I have to deal with historical materials. Nowhere do I claim I'm a trained historian, no, but you know, I do. Sociology, anthropology, Durkheim, Weber, anything that explains.
It was very interesting. I recently listened to a podcast by James Scott, because James Scott, you know, in his explorations of the Malay peasantry, you know, Weapons of the Weak, of course, is his most famous book,
then
The Moral Economy of the Peasant. I wonder if, you know, in the 70s, there was a real development about how do we get at the problem? How do we understand it best? What methodologies would yield the greatest understanding?
Okay, now the thing is, there's one word which the book makes use of. What the hell do we mean by development? Then, obviously, putting everything in epistemological terms, you know, historical context, or mana we say cultural meaning or words, whatever you call it, you put it in context, you see development means Malay capitalism, Malay millionaires, big money. It's always stories, always the legends, always, Now, then you ask, how do you understand it? Which again, I would, is regret, too strong word, is we have to get into political economy. You can't explain things by just speeches of ministers. You need to understand colonial capitalism. You need to understand capitalism. Whether you're communist or not, you need to understand a bit of Marx, yeah, on class, yeah, yeah. You need a strong background on cultural history, yeah, yeah. Whatever, as I say, whatever, because actually, this is from my experience, when you're dealing with the concrete problem in your backyard, suddenly you'll find that knowledge breaks down. It cannot be compartmentalized. Anything that's useful.
Right. You mentioned Karl Mannheim, of course, you know, the kind of father of the sociology of knowledge, and I think a big influence on Said Hussein Alatas' work.
Yes, yes.
If you had to name one person, apart from Alatas, you know, whose work was actually quoted by Edward Said, just to put that in the mix, who would you say influenced you tremendously in your own intellectual development?
No, you see, sometimes in your gratitude, in your gratitude, somehow you feel very reluctant to single out. You owe them all, honestly. I owe them all. You run through my bibliography, I'll see I owe a lot to all of them. You see, because to explain Malay ideas, you know how ideas are. It is related to process of thinking. In terms of idea, sociology of knowledge, apart Mannheim, hosts of many people, they all explain it. Ho Zenger was excellent in terms of understanding ideas. Norman Cohn, historian, is excellent in terms of explaining ideas, millenarian ideas, whole loads of them. But having said all that, yes, I owe a lot to Karl Mannheim. Okay. But I won't say I am just Karl Mannheim, which many people make it. No. Run through the bibliography, a whole host of them.
Okay. We'll take a short break at this point in time. We'll come back. I'm speaking to Shahruddin Ma'arouf, the author of Malay Ideas on Development, recently reissued by Gerard Budaya Press, the Strategic Information Research Development Center. We're here at the Gerard Budaya Bookstore, in fact. Stay tuned to Let's Talk.